Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, Turnbuckle Turmoil fans, welcome to the show here on a Sunday afternoon as we wrap up our Wrestle Club month. Real fast before we jump into things, if you're looking for some pro wrestling today, you have prime time wrestling happening in Paris, Kentucky, blue collar wrestling like usual at the North Portland Eagles in Portland, Oregon, and some of you might be aware there's an event called the Royal Rumble as well today. So there's wrestling out there. Get out there, support it wherever it may be close to you. And as we wrap up Wrestle Club month, I want to bring on one of the bright, shining stars of Wrestle Club, relatively new to the sport, but Cali's best, Jay Cruz. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you very much. And as one of the bright stars, I have to say that I am the star of Wrestle Club now, the one and only star. Being from California and all. So, there's that.
Noted, noted. Well, since it is your first time with us, we're going to ask you our traditional first-timers question. What led to you getting into the business of professional wrestling?
Well, led to getting into the business. Well, I've been a fan since I was about seven years old. Yeah, watching Attitude Era, really liked the characters. One of my favorite pay-per-views that actually really wanted me to become a wrestler was No Way Out, either 2001 or 2002, where the main event was The Rock versus Kurt Angle. You also had a Stone Cold versus Triple H Three Stages match. And that whole pay-per-view in itself made me want to become a professional wrestler. So I would say, being a fan, but then that pay-per-view really did it for me.
Now, getting into professional wrestling, I'm sure that you have goals in mind as far as what you want to accomplish in the sport. What would you say are your ultimate goals? What are the end-game results that you want to have happen?
See, so end-game result, that's a very good question. Very good question for Cali's Best. See, my end-game result for this year, that is to become the first-ever Wrestle Club Triple Crown Champion. So that's one thing. I want to hold all three belts this year. That includes knocking off the Lost Soul Garibay, knocking him off of his high horse, and taking that heavyweight title away from him. And then also finding a partner that's good enough to tag with me and win the tag belts also. So that's a goal of mine, personally, for this year. Long-term, WWE will eventually come calling, AEW will eventually come calling, because everybody wants Cali's Best.
One of the goals that most wrestlers have going into the business is capturing a championship. In less than 2 years' time, you have captured a championship at Wrestle Club. When you won that Potato Bowl championship, what was going through your mind the second that you were the official champion?
Well, I mean, first thing, I won it 8 months into my career. Only eight months, not even a year into my career, I won that title, which is, for any wrestler, amazing. I mean, that's one thing. But what's going through my head was, one, I was in shock still. Just because, everything aside, that was my very first title win, and for me to do it, as a singles competitor, was just huge for me. So, and then not to mention, to give credit where credit is due, Outlaw Rusty Livings is an excellent competitor, excellent shape, just an awesome wrestler, but, that day he just couldn't stand up to Cali's Best, plain and simple.
Now, as the champion at Wrestle Club, obviously have a lot of eyes on you, both from the fans and from the people at Wrestle Club that want that championship just as well. Since you've won the title, have you had a different sense going into shows, knowing that everyone wants that title and they're going to be specifically gunning for you?
I mean, there's a target on my back for sure, especially being a bad guy, you know, being this guy from California trying to turn Wrestle Club into a California brand. I mean, so that already put a target on my back. Now that I'm, you know, Idaho's champion, that just made it worse. There's one guy in particular that really just stares at me, and that's the voodoo priest, Damian Black. That guy always gives me kind of a creepy, crawly feeling. I mean, he's just a weirdo, so I'm hoping he stays away from me. But I know he was champion once before, but not anymore, so he has to get over it.
Now, at Wrestle Club, like we have mentioned many times here on the past, they have television on broadcast TV in Idaho and surrounding states. It's a very, very good TV product. It also airs on Roku, so fans all over the world can get the Roku device and watch what's happening in Wrestle Club. When you're wrestling in the ring in front of the fans that are there in attendance, does the TV audience play into your mind at all, or is that something that's not really conscious to you when you're wrestling?
Oh, yeah, definitely, because, you know, being in Idaho and wrestling in Idaho, I am the bad guy here. But for me, all of my fans watching in California, they're cheering. So I block out all those, you know, haters in Idaho, and I obviously tune in to those California fans that just love J. Cruz. So that is the biggest thing of why I pay attention to my TV audience.
Now, in your everyday life, just the wake up in the morning, go to bed at night type of life, when you're out and about, have you noticed more of a notoriety, fans recognizing you, coming up, wanting autographs and pictures and that sort of thing?
I've only had a couple instances, especially here in Idaho. So I've only had a couple instances of fans coming up and asking me if I was, you know, Cali's best J. Cruz, and I just shoo them away because I don't want nobody to touch me. Usually most of the time I get more or less fans at the events asking me for autographs, but, you know, nobody here deserves my autographs yet. So we'll see where they're at when they can show me the respect I deserve.
One of the things that a lot of people do at wrestling shows to support their favorites is buy merchandise. I know you're not too deep into the career yet, but has there been Cali's best merchandise available for fans to purchase to put a few dollars in your own pocket?
So, actually, that is an excellent question, because coming soon, the first ever Cali's Best J. Cruz t-shirts will be coming. I believe they will start being for sale, not at our next event, but the event following that. I'm having one of the premier t-shirt companies, 2988 Athletic Apparel, make Cali's Best t-shirts. So yeah, they will be coming soon, and then everybody can show exactly what side they're on, the California side or the Idaho side.
Now, in my experiences in wrestling over the years, I've noticed that a lot of times wrestling fans in certain areas respond best to the wrestling products that are most similar to whatever territory was in effect in that area during the territorial system. Just as an example, the fans around Memphis, Tennessee are going to react to a old school brawling type of wrestling product with a lot of gimmicks to it, as opposed to a high flying type of product. Fans in Oklahoma might respond better to the mat-based, technical, hard-hitting style as opposed to, say, a Lucha Libre style because that was what they grew up on in the territory system. Idaho never really had a full-time territory. There were stops from a few different promotions along the way, but they didn't have that full-time wrestling territory. As the only real independent group in Idaho, do you think that Wrestle Club has really been shaping what fans expect and enjoy out of professional wrestling, or do you think that the fans react best to what the television product is, as far as like WWE or Impact Wrestling or something like that, or do you think it's a combination?
For sure, a combination, because obviously WWE is a huge product. AEW is coming up, and their television product is there. Their names people know. Where now you get Wrestle Club, and we are just making a huge jump. So for us, we are stamping our own brand of wrestling in Idaho. So our styles aren't like styles that you see anywhere else in the United States because of the fact that we mix every single style that you said that are from different states, and we put it into one. So you have your hard hitters like me. You have your high flyers like Outlaw. You have your, your over-the-top gimmicks like King. So it's like we take every single product that's out there and put it into one, which is why Wrestle Club's going to grow massively.
Now, speaking of the King, he had a chance in his career so far to go to Japan and wrestle. He did a tour over there a couple of years ago. Japan is normally on a list of career goals for most people to get into the wrestling business. Have you given much consideration to eventually going over to Japan and wrestling there in the land of the rising sun?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that is by far, like, one of the goals in life is to one day go and wrestle in Japan. Right now, I'm really focusing on, building, Wrestle Club into the better California brand that I know it can be. And also building up my brand in Utah now. I'm actually stretching my legs and actually wrestling in UCW Zero in Salt Lake City, Utah also now. So I'm really focusing on closer ventures right now, but if the opportunity knocks, I'm definitely going to, answer the door.
In the last few years, we have seen a lot more chances for independent wrestlers to go to different areas, and independent wrestling has opened up in a lot more countries than ever before. We've seen independent wrestling tours in the Philippines, Thailand, Australia, Austria, England, all over. There's a lot of more independent wrestling and a lot more opportunities for American independent wrestling stars that want to travel. Are there other areas out there that most interest you down the road to go ahead and tour those places?
Yeah, actually, not really out of the United States right now. It's besides, obviously, Japan. Besides Japan and the UK, I really want to go and wrestle in the UK one day. But mostly California, Oregon, Washington, Utah, those four states so far I really want to wrestle in. And also Florida. I really want to go wrestle in Florida, too. I think Florida would be a fun place to have Jay Cruz come out there and knock some heads. So.
Now, in professional wrestling, I don't know that you've experienced this very much, but one of the things that is definitely a chance in every match is blood being spilled. There's always accidents that can happen in a match, even if it's just a friendly technical match, and blood has always been part of professional wrestling, but in the last few years, a lot of people feel that blood should be eliminated completely out of wrestling matches just because of what we know medically now that can happen. Some people feel that there's definitely a time and a place for blood in wrestling. Some people don't see any problem at all in having as much or as little blood on a show as you would want to have. What's your own personal stance as far as blood relating to pro wrestling in 2020?
In 2020, well, let's see here. See, as a fan, as a wrestling fan, for me, it builds the match for me. If someone's busted open and all of a sudden blood's coming out, it's kind of like that old school Stone Cold Steve Austin picture with him in the sharpshooter from Bret Hart. If he wasn't bleeding in that picture, I think that the match wouldn't be as famous as it is. It's still a great match, but not as famous as it is. But that picture of Austin screaming with blood coming down his face, as a fan, I think it builds certain matches. But time and a place. As a wrestler, knowing the insides of how it was worked, if an accident happens, it can build a match that you can play off it. If someone's doing it intentionally to bleed, then no, I think that stuff should be out of wrestling. Accidents happen, then build off of that. But other than that, I don't think people should purposely do it.
Now, in a similar vein, anyone that's in wrestling knows that injuries are part of the business. Everyone's going to have the occasional injury here and there if they're in it for very long at all. At this point, this early in your career, have you had to contend with any injuries?
Oh, yeah. At this point in my career, actually my debut match in UCW Zero, I dislocated my pinky and popped it back in place and continued the match. It's just one of those things that, it's painful right now, but, I think every single wrestler deals with little injuries. I was lucky enough not to deal with any big injuries yet, but I am looking towards the future and knowing that, in a business like we're in, it's inevitable for it to happen. You're eventually going to have a big injury. So for me, I haven't had to deal with it yet besides the little ones. The biggest one I had to deal with is just the dislocated pinky, but just popped it back in place and just keep on rolling. So nothing for me yet.
Hopefully that will continue. Now, of course, when injuries do happen, a lot of times it's a scary situation depending on the type of injury and the severity and so forth. We also see things scary that are not injury-related, like fans that become unruly. There's rings that sometimes break, causing scary moments. There's a lot of things that can be considered scary that potentially can happen during a show. We've all had those moments where for a brief second or even for several minutes we're scared because of what happened out there. What would you say has been your scariest moment so far?
That is actually a very excellent question. I don't know if I had a scariest moment. I have a very weird moment that happened. I haven't had any scary ones yet, but I had this fan on the potato drop. He looked like he was probably intoxicated, and he kept getting too close to the ring. Every single time I was outside the ring, he would start, hitting my stomach, not in an aggressive way, but just, in a good job way. And it's kind of I'm trying to do my job here, get out of the way. So weird moments, haven't really had any scary ones, but guaranteed if a fan or anything like that decides to jump in the ring, especially try to hit me, they're going to get the best of me.
That's a good policy to have because you never know what a fan might be doing if they try to cross that line. Now, you mentioned the fan that was patting you on the stomach, and we've all been to places that are maybe not as secure as others. Sometimes the amenities are a little bit laxing. Sometimes just the aesthetics are not there. We've all had that venue where we get there and we're like, why am I at this place to wrestle? You don't have to name the specific name if you're not comfortable with that, but have you had that one venue where you get there and you can't believe that's where you have to wrestle?
Actually, yeah, the funny thing is, my promoter's probably going to get mad, but I just came off of getting stitches in my hand, and my first match back was it was in Caldwell, Idaho, and it was some sort of festival going on, and we were our ring was set up right next to like this fenced off area, like not inside where all the festival is going on, but outside out in the parking lot pretty much, where concrete pretty much all over the floor, and we probably had 15 to 20 fans there, which was, you know, it's still, we're there to do a job. I'm there to get booed. I'm there to get hated. So it works for me. But it was like, it was one of those events where I looked where we were set up and I was like, we could do so much better than being right here in this little, you know, in the corner, you know, as if we're being shunned out of something. So yeah, there's a couple of events that I was like that with.
Well, if the promoter gets mad, he can put all the heat on me. I'll take responsibility for that one.
There you go.
One of the things that a lot of fans may not be aware is that in Idaho, there is a commission overseeing professional wrestling. It's a commission state, as are many other states. Every commission is going to be different as far as what is required and what wrestlers can and cannot do, what promoters can and cannot do. Some are very, very lax. Some are extremely strict. In a lot of states, there is no commission at all to oversee wrestling. Being in Idaho, what, if any, instances of you going through the commission have you endured? And do you think just as overall, across the board, general rule, are commissions a good thing or a bad thing for pro wrestling in this day and age?
Honestly, I can't really speak on stuff I don't know much about. For me, just being in the business now, because honestly, that's up to the owner, the booker, the promoter to deal with. So I don't really pay attention that much to that kind of stuff. I'm just there to do a job, and I try to do my job the best I can. But there's a reason why Idaho has not had a independent wrestling promotion there, and it's very obvious with the rules that are in place of why there hasn't been. For a wrestle club to be able to stay alive and grow in Idaho is a miracle in itself. So, bad guy or not, I give all the credit to our owner, booker, and promoter to keep this company alive and give me opportunities like this.
Well, at this point in time, my co-host QT Vokes is standing by, and I'm sure he has questions as well, so I'm going to turn things to QT for a bit.
Well, thank you, Sun Guy. Hello, Jay.
Hey, how you doing? Is your name QT?
Yes, it is. QT, yes.
Oh, okay. Just want to make sure I heard that correctly. Okay.
The QT stands for Quite Terrific.
Oh, Quite Terrific. Okay. I thought Quite Terrible, but we'll go with that.
Come on. Quite Terrible. Okay. Well, Jay, I saw your YouTube video entitled Season 2, Episode 23, Wrestle Club Tag Wars. And at the 23-minute and 21-second mark, you said that you knocked Livewire, Eddie Vice, out with a hero guitar. Yes, that's what you said. You were standing by like a bridge. My question is, could he have been hurt worse if he was hit by a solid body Fender Epiphone guitar, a solid body?
Almost likely. I mean, my goal was to, you know, make sure I didn't have a match with him, but he decided to keep wrestling. So, yeah, I mean, maybe next time I'll hit him with that.
Oh, a solid body. Very good. Yes. Now, do you believe your guitar hero blow against Eddie Vice had the same impact as some of Honky Tonk Man's blows with his acoustic guitar?
Oh, man, WWE. Honky Tonk Man has nothing on me. Mine was a lot more solid hit, bigger hit, like a lot more muscle behind it. Honky Tonk Man is nothing but a gimmick with a fake guitar.
Well, he did have the Shake, Rattle, and Roll. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, which rock and roll star do you think Eddie Vice was emulating with his singing entrance in that match? Could it have been David Lee Roth? Because he looked like a rock and roller. And he took the mic and sang.
Yeah, he did take the mic and sing. I don't know. He was just emulating someone terrible because he sucks. So that's it.
Maybe it was Wendy O. Williams and the Plasmatics.
I have no idea who that is.
You don't know who Wendy O. Williams and the Plasmatics is?
Nope. They must be terrible because Cali's Best hasn't heard of them.
Oh, okay. That's your homework assignment, to look up Wendy O. Williams. She was a punk rock pioneer, and she sang the song No Class, among others.
Well, I'll think about it. Think about it.
She was very comfortable in her own clothes, which she lacked. Okay. Okay. Well, were you and Eddie Vice the only rookies for Wrestle Club in 2019? If so, just how many other rookies would you say that you destroyed or shattered their dreams? Can you tell us about any rookies that you put to rest?
So, actually, Eddie Vice and I were not technically the only rookies in 2019. Anunnaki actually was also our Rookie of the Year class for this year that I beat them both out for. So Anunnaki is actually he has wrestling behind his belt outside of Wrestle Club, but for Wrestle Club he was considered he was up for Rookie of the Year against me and also Eddie Vice. But as far as rookies I've destroyed, I mean, when it comes down to it, we had a lot of guys come in, a lot of guys come out this past year, and you know, they see the charisma, the strength, Cali KO or California Dreamin', however you want to say it, and they all just kind of wither away because they can't stand up to me. That's it.
Wow. All right. Rookies beware. Yes. Yes. Okay. Now, what music do you have playing when you enter the ring typically? Entrance music has been a large part of this show and a constant subject that we go over. What's your entrance music?
My interest music is actually very heavy-based rap, hip-hop type. I don't like lyrics, so I don't have lyrics behind it because, you know, I don't need lyrics to tell everybody that I'm the best. They can see me. So, no, mine's very hip-hop, rap-based.
I see. Do you use any Beastie Boys lyrics? Beastie Boys from the 80s.
Why would I use Beastie Boys from the 80s? We're in 2020, QT. Come on, give it the times.
Well, you still got to fight for your right to party.
Oh, yes. My goodness.
And license to ill and all that. Okay. Well, Jay, do you still have some bad blood and ill will with Project Mayhem? And if so, would you care to fill us in on Project Mayhem if you have bad tidings with them?
So, no bad blood with Project Mayhem. No bad blood with them. I imagine they want Cali's Best to be a part of Project Mayhem because, obviously, Zayn as the Mouth isn't doing anything anymore. So, and then you got the Voodoo Priest, Damian Black, who used to be the Potato Bowl champion, but now I have it. So, there might be some blood there, but we'll see. I mean, I've had a match with Black before. It was a triple threat with James Grimm, whatever, and he almost knocked me out. So I would say that a receipt is definitely coming for him if me and him ever get into the ring again. So I look forward to that encounter with Damian Black again. But other than that, there's no really bad blood with them. They stay in their lane, I stay in mine.
Wow. Now, on one of your wrestling matches, the announcer said that you were a sacrificial lamb of King Marcus Anderson. Do you agree with this assessment, that you were a sacrificial lamb?
I do not. See, me and Marcus King Anderson, the King, are on really good terms. Like, if you listen correctly, King is from Riverside, California, right? So, as a part of that, we made the Royal Aces, which, given more time, would have been the dominant tag team in Wrestle Club. But now that I'm part of Hollywood Enterprises, I can't really have time for Royal Aces. If that ever comes up again, perhaps we will be dominant again. But, you know, stuff happens in a match, no hard feelings. But if he ever crosses my path, he will get these hands, as a big wrestler says. I don't even know what his name is. He's trash anyways.
Wow. Well, it's well known that Roberto Duran was called Hands of Stone. I mean, I'm just saying that you remind me of Roberto Duran. That's what I'm getting at.
Well, I don't know who Roberto Duran is, but he's not as good as Cali's Best.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I noticed in some of your videos that you use leg kicks and leg sweeps. Do you use this move often, and are you schooled in the ways of the Oriental arts, like Bruce Lee was? Bruce Lee.
So here's a little background for you. Before I started professional wrestling, I actually had a career in mixed martial arts, MMA, whatever you want to say. I cage fought for a little bit. I was trained in Muay Thai, Jiu-Jitsu, and Capoeira. So with that being said, I try to incorporate those types of kicks, that type of combat, mostly against bigger guys, you know, guys I have to actually knock off their feet. But with these little guys, you know, it doesn't really matter much. But when anybody faces me, the same outcome comes out of it, and that is they eventually get a California Dreamin'. One punch later, they're laying flat on their back. 1, 2, 3. I stand victorious.
Wow. All right. Well, do you think that you could have withstood the Rex Kwan Dojo on the movie Napoleon Dynamite? Could you have matched up against Rex Kwan? That's what I'm getting at. Or maybe Napoleon's brother Kip. Could you take Kip in the Rex Kwan Dojo?
Oh, QT, I see what you do now. I see. Okay. Okay. They're irrelevant. They don't stand a chance against me. And if they were standing in front of me right now, I would hit them over head. I would hit them over the head with a steel chair, or brass, or hit them in the face with brass knucks. I can't. I have to decide, you know. But the fact is that these joke artists or actors are fake, not the real deal.
Hmm. Okay. Well, that's I don't know. Rex Kwan seemed to be the real deal to me. Yes, real deal with his parachute pajamas. And speaking of Rex Kwan and his parachute pajamas, are you the only Pacific Northwest wrestler who wears 70s style tube socks and Chuck Taylor Converse training basketball shoes? Chuck Taylor and tube socks. Are you the only wrestler?
I don't think I'm the only one, but that is funny. You are funny. QT, you should come to Idaho sometime and you know, really talk about my attire, you know, right in the middle of the ring with yours truly, and I will show you exactly what these high top Converse and tube socks can do. But other than that, no, I don't think I am the only one that wears these. Not sure, but it doesn't really matter because I look great in them.
Well, I would consider it quite the honor, and I would make that commitment to travel to Idaho to get an autographed pair of tube socks from you. I think they would sell very good on eBay. Yes, and my second choice would be a pair of your autographed Chuck Taylors. Yes. I'd be talking most of the time, though, with the Spud Brothers. So, you know, Spud Brothers. They made a huge impact on me. Yes.
Spud Brothers. Okay. Oh, jeez.
All right. Well, you know, at that video, at the 30-minute and 53-second mark, LiveWire hit you with a knife-edged chop to the chest. On a scale of 1 to 10, how painful was this vicious blow to your chest?
Two.
LiveWire hit you.
Oh,
two.
Very two, yeah. Yeah. I tried to make it feel better by showing I was in pain. Really didn't hurt at all. There's a two.
Okay. All right. Well, Mr. Cruz, you've got a variety of solid moves that I saw in that video, including a variation of the rocker dropper and the swinging leg DDT. Where did you learn these and your many other moves? Most importantly, though, the swinging leg DDT. Where did you learn that?
The swinging leg DDT.
Yes.
I just picked it up, I guess. I don't know. I said I'm going to do this, and that's what I did. And honestly, when I do something, no one really stops me from doing it. So whatever move I want to come up with at that split second is what I'm going to do to somebody. Do I have my core sets of moves? Yes. Did I practice them? You know, mostly on the people that withered off, you know, don't want to be in professional wrestling anymore because of me. But, no, other than that, I have my core sets of moves that I learned and picked up on my own. And then, yeah, I don't know. I think that answers your question, maybe.
All right. Do you believe that your opponent's use of the face melter was a low blow or dirty move? The face melter. I myself had never seen that before, that particular move. Where did he pull that out of? Face melter.
I have no idea. I have no idea. I don't recollect ever taking the face melter. You know, it's not in my memory bank. You know, I don't remember that. Nope, don't remember it at all.
Okay, no problem. Okay. Well, in another video that I saw that you were in, you overhead pressed the outlaw, Rusty Livings. Do you do a lot of deadlifting as part of your training? Because Rusty Livings, you know, you overhead pressed him, kind of like Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, I guess my workouts do consist of a lot of deadlifting, and I do a lot of medicine ball throws to try to get that explosion up, you know, try to get them over my head. You know, it's from ground to, you know, going from ground all the way above your head. You know, it's like I do a lot of medicine ball throws, power cleans, stuff like that, just to get that weight up. And, you know, Rusty Livings isn't exactly a small guy either, so it just shows you how strong, you know, Cali's best is. And if you get a chance when the new potato drop match comes out, I actually took our heaviest guy and gave him a wasteland. So there's that for you.
Wow. Now, you see, I would like to work out with you someday. You could use the medicine ball, and I could use like a wiffle ball, that wiffle ball with a hole in it. Yes, for overhead pressing.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. Okay. All right. We'll put that on the back burner. Okay. All right. Well, is it true that you also play semi-pro football? And if so, what's the name of the team? I've heard a rumor that you play semi-pro football.
Yes. Yes. Actually, my season starts here at the end of March, and I play for a semi-pro team called the Gem State Guardians. Our home field is in Greenleaf, Idaho. Yeah, so I play running back and outside linebacker. This year I'm testing out my throwing arm, seeing how I do at quarterback. But yeah, no, I still play semi-pro football to this day.
Well, throughout the years on this show, I have proven my expertise in video analysis, and I'm going to say that you are 5'10", 218 pounds. Oh no, 5'9" and a half. 218 pounds. Am I pretty close?
5'10 was correct, but, you know, close.
Yeah, okay. I'm probably right around 2 pounds off your weight of 220 pounds.
Yeah. I mean, I've been actually slimming up, so you know, I'm actually down to actually 218. So actually, really good guess.
Wow. Well, okay. I'm still undefeated in video analysis. Okay. Very good. Well, I've only lost once. Okay. Now, do you use any of these techniques that you have on the pro semi-pro football team in the wrestling ring?
No, actually, because if I used any of the football techniques I use in the wrestling ring, I would break someone in half. So I'd rather just leave football with football and leave wrestling with wrestling.
Okay. All right. You're doing the purist approach. I admire that, the purist, kind of like psychology and philosophy. Okay. Did you see the movie The Longest Yard, number 2? And if so, what did you think of the role of the Great Khali?
Oh, yeah, the Great Khali, when you can actually understand him, actually was an excellent role. I thought it fit his big, dumb character perfectly. So, yeah.
I see. Okay. Well, now there's another Northwest wrestler that plays semi-pro football. I'm talking about blue-collar wrestler Buddy Highway, the Gresham Savior. Have you talked to Buddy Highway or met him in person?
I have not, but I mean, depending on how he treats me, we could have a good conversation. But I look forward to meeting him, another semi-pro football player slash wrestler.
Oh, okay. All right. You may look him up on Facebook page, or maybe Sign Guy can send you a link, or myself, of Buddy Highway in action. I think you'd really enjoy the Gresham Savior.
Hmm. All right. Well, maybe. We'll see.
Okay. All right. Well, now, is Death Proof Coffee your number one choice of pre-match liquid supplement? Death Proof Coffee.
Death Proof Coffee is an excellent coffee place. Yes, I would say it is one of my top pre-match places to go to because, it's an excellent place to go to get your coffee or your mixed monsters or energy drink stuff, whatever, like flavoring and all that crap. But, yeah, I would say it's a great place to go to.
All right. It comes highly recommended by Sign Guy himself. Very good.
Oh.
Yes. Great. Okay. All right. Well, are there any truths to the rumors out of Shelton, Washington, that King Marcus Anderson is from El Segundo, California?
Say that one more time.
Are there any truths to the rumors out of Shelton, Washington, that King Marcus Anderson is from El Segundo, California, or what?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm not from Washington. I'll pay attention to Washington. What's Washington? Yeah, it's irrelevant. It's irrevelant. It's not California. I only pay attention to California. I don't pay attention to anything going on in Washington or the rumors that are coming out of Washington or anything like that.
Oh, okay. All right. Very good. I'm just saying you're probably comfortable on the crossroads of Crenshaw and Normandy, aren't you? Crenshaw and Normandy.
Crenshaw and Normandy.
Yes.
Really?
Well, that is the crossroads of the hip hop culture and anarchy. Yes.
Oh my goodness.
It's a long way from Idaho, I can tell you that. Okay. All right. Now let's see. Are there any truths to the rumors that to make ends meet, you put in an application and it was accepted by the Spud Brothers, and they are going to let you build a new chicken coop for them with a private room for their prized rooster, Bernadette?
Oh, QC, you got jokes. I mean, last time I checked on the Spud Brothers, I knocked them both out. So maybe she checked your facts. You know,
I'm a huge admirer of the Spud Brothers, and although you may have laid the smacketh down on them, they would still hire you and your skills as a carpenter. I mean, that's what I heard.
Yeah. No, rumors are not true. So, no, I am not with the Spud Brothers. And it shows that you're a big Spud Brothers fan. It honestly does.
Okay. Well, at this time, I'm going to turn it back over to the sign guy. And I do hope you do build that chicken coop with the Spud Brothers. It looked like they needed help from their latest video. And I hope you look up Wendy O. Williams from the Plasmatics.
Well, yeah, thank you, Quite Terrible. I appreciate your time, I guess.
Yeah, the pleasure is here on all this side of the table. Yes. Back to you, Sangha.
Thank you, QT. Well, Jay Cruz, you mentioned dropping a couple of pounds recently, and everyone in wrestling knows that diet can be an important part of being able to maintain ring shape and be able to perform at a high level. What is your current diet like these days?
So that's a good question, because I'm actually starting a new one. So I have a fasting diet. So I don't eat for 8 hours in the day, and I try to only eat in the morning and at nighttime. So anytime during the day, I try to only eat small snacks, such as peanuts or fruit-based, anything like that. But anything, I don't have big meals throughout the day anymore. So I usually stop eating at around 8 a.m. and begin again later on the day.
What about the conditioning aspect of things? What do you do as far as weight training, cardiovascular? Do you do any MMA training to incorporate into your wrestling training? What's the other side of the coin like?
So right now, as it stands, because my football season is so close, I run about 3 times a week. I hit the gym about 4 times a week along with my running. And then I have football practice once a week, which is going to turn into 2 times a week. And then also on top of that, my actual professional wrestling training, which is 2 times a week also. So I do, on my free time, I try to do a lot of training. But, you know, everyday life, you can only get so much in.
Very, very true. Now, in professional wrestling, especially for younger wrestlers, a lot of times a manager will play an important part for a wrestler, getting contracts, arranging matches, opening a few doors that the wrestler may not know how to open just yet. There's a very good manager in the Northwest named Y.T. Jones out of Alaska. He comes to the lower 48 and manages in several other promotions. Have you discovered Y.T. Jones yet? And if so, have there been any talks between Cali's Best and Alaska's premier manager?
So I have not met him, because currently I am under a manager, Agent GL. Is currently my manager under Hollywood Enterprises. So, so as it stands right now, I have a manager. You know, he has over 50 years experience. At least that's what he says. So, so currently Cali's Best is managed under Agent GL under Hollywood Enterprises.
Well, I am familiar with Agent GL, and he is very, very good. Of course, manager and an agent, not quite the same. You could always incorporate both. But you obviously are under the management, or at least have an agent in place in GL. He got his start being the agent for Hollywood Hickman, and you sort of put an end to Hickman's career recently in Wrestle Club. What was the situation between you and Hickman that cost him his career and led to his agent going to you?
So I blame this whole thing on the Lost Soul Garibay. If the Lost Soul Garibay wasn't who he is, then Hickman would still be here, but, you know, casualties of war, now Hickman's gone. But on the flip side of that, Hollywood Hickman, my tag team partner in Hollywood Enterprises, sadly, is gone also. But hope he's doing well wherever he is. And as for Mr. Hickman, the American Machine, I hope he's doing terrible.
Wrestle Club is unique in that it goes all over Idaho and into Oregon and performs for charities wherever they may be. They go to a lot of different venues. A lot of them are indoor, but a lot of them are also outdoor venues, including the potato drop every year. Do you have a preference when it comes to wrestling indoors versus wrestling outdoors?
That is a good question. I do have a preference, actually. I really like wrestling in Death Proof Coffee House. Death Proof Coffee House is probably one of my favorite venues, along with the Special Olympics Arena. So those two venues, I think, are my favorite. I think I said the second one correctly also, but you might have to check that one. But those two venues are by far my favorite. As far as outdoor, nothing beats wrestling in front of Idaho's or Boise's Capitol building as someone from California, because I get massive boos, and, you know, it's always fun, you know, yelling at the crowd. So, but for me, it's indoor. I feel like the pops are better, the people are better, you know, not standing outside and actually be able to sit down is also nice also.
All right. Well, we're down to the last few minutes of the show, and I want to make sure that you have ample time today. If there is anything you would like to say to the listeners, plug and promote anything and everything you would like, from social medias to upcoming appearances to merchandise to your favorite barbecue restaurant, floor is all yours.
Okay, well, let's start off with February 1st is Death Proof Coffee. I forgot what the show is called, to be honest, because I just show up and do my thing. But February 1st at 7 p.m. at Death Proof Coffee House is Wrestle Club's next event. And then you can see Cali's Best February 8th at UCW Zero in Salt Lake City. And then on top of that, merchandise is coming soon, so be on the lookout for that. And then last but not least, I wanted to send a heartfelt prayers to the Kobe Bryant family. If you guys haven't heard, the Los Angeles Lakers legend and also California great Kobe Bryant died earlier today in the tragic helicopter accident. So I want to extend my prayers out to his family and friends.
Absolutely, and definitely we send our condolences to his fans and his family as well. But Cali's Best, Jay Cruz, it has been an absolute pleasure having you on the show today, and I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy day to get ready for the upcoming season as well as the upcoming Wrestle Club show. And best of luck as you continue to defend that title and get better and better, and I'm sure our paths will cross relatively soon.
Well, sounds good. Thank you for having me. And it's only fitting that you end Wrestle Club month with the premier athletes of Wrestle Club and Cali's Best, Jay Cruz. So thank you very much, Sign Guy.
All right. And fans, definitely, if Jay Cruz is on a show near you, go buy yourself a ticket. His star is rising still. Lots and lots of potential in him, so get on the bandwagon early. We'll be back with you next week. Next Friday, we wrap up our Northwest Pro Month with Tomcat Jones, and then we'll be right back here with you next Sunday afternoon. So join us then and get out there, support all the independent wrestling you can, wherever it may be.